You believe strongly that though there are disadvantaged groups in society, that everything possible must be done to encourage marriage, this relationship in which one commits to the other.
I think what we've been doing in huge studies of all of this is to locate what the real issues are that cause such high levels, I think, in the UK, but over here as well, such high levels of social dislocation and breakdown, where you'll get children being brought up in families where there may be two and three generations of dysfunctional parenting, often alone parenting, often levels of abuse, children themselves almost destined certainly to repeat the characteristics of their upbringing when they grow up and rear children in much the same way. So all of the work we've done, looking at debt, looking at alcohol and drug abuse, looking at failed education, but also looking at the very early years, the 0 to 3 where children are brought up, is critical. Family stability is at the heart of that as well. And, of course, at the heart of family stability is marriage. It's not to say that you wag your finger or tell people this is what they have to do, but it's trying to show everybody that the most important gift that you can give a child is a stable family upbringing, and two parents are the most stable way of doing it. It's not to say that lone parents don't manage this, that the vast majority find it really very difficult, and that's the whole point, try and find that stability.
And you try to speak about cohabitation and try to have the dialogue. It's often a difficult thing to do because people have very firm opinions on whether or not they should be able to live together without getting married.
Well, it's this is ultimately, and I keep making this point to everybody, the nature of the way that you live is up to you, and you'll have to make those decisions as an adult. But I think those decisions should never be made in a vacuum. And I think what hasn't helped this, the UK been able to show this, is this ridiculous, rather stilted debate between so-called social conservatives and so-called social liberals, who, on the one hand, they talk about their rights to make decisions, on the other hand, they talk about the pro-family norms, and no one's actually bothered really to find out what has actually been happening. And one of the things we did is a huge study, talked to thousands of people, traveled all over the world, put together all the academic evidence, and what we showed was one of the big problems about cohabitation in the sense, whatever people choose, is that the reality is it's a more unstable, ultimately more unstable form of relationship. Almost all the figures show this. That in the UK, I know, and I'd be surprised if the figures are hugely different here, that a cohabiting couple, if they have a child, something close to half of those relationships will break before the child is 5, whereas even with high levels of divorce, with a child, a married family, it's 1 in 12. And so you can see there is a question mark over that stability. Now, that's not everybody. Some cohabiting couples will be together for a lifetime, but the figures really speak for themselves, and rather get into sort of finger-wagging and personal discussions, the key thing is that those figures say that people really need to think very carefully, because that level of stability and commitment is vital in the child's life, particularly before their child reaches 3, where all that nurture and attention may be the difference between their achieving and their not achieving in later life, and almost every figure we've seen shows this can have a dramatic effect on them.
You have made a real effort at your Center for Social Justice to bring in members of labor and other political stripes to join in this movement. Are you, and let's talk about Barack Obama and the phenomenon in the United States. Are you encouraged that the U.S. president made as part of his campaign and now as part of what he says will be his effort in the first term to battle dadless families, to explain to America that dadless families are bad for America?
Well, I'm encouraged when any politician wants to follow the facts, and that's the key, and that's what I've been doing with people from the left or whatever. This is not and shouldn't be a stilted political game that's being played out based on opinions. It must be on the facts, and the facts as we see it now in a growing number of families, particularly in areas of low income, you'll find that the levels of dysfunctionality through family breakdown have a dramatic effect both on their children and on the community in general. In some of our, what you'd call projects over here, I suppose, but for us it's social housing, in many of those now you'll find that children growing up will never see either in their own home or in the families around them in the streets two things. They'll never find, for the most part, a positive male role model. And secondly, they are unlikely to see anybody going out to work every day. In other words, the pro-social norms that may exist in many families have almost completely disappeared. So it's not surprising, therefore, that the influences on them will be the influences that are most immediate, and quite often this is where they drift into street gangs, they get into problems, on the edge of criminality sometimes. This sort of process is all down to the influences on children early on. Obviously, I'm dealing with the worst sort of cases, but that's why I suspect that President Obama is keen to refocus everybody on the commitment that is necessary when you bring up a child, and how to break that cycle of dysfunctionality and broken homes and not encourage it.
So are you more hopeful or less hopeful about the direction society is moving in with regard to marriage?
Well, it's not all simply about marriage. The point I make is marriage is critical and a critical component to this, and it is hugely about stability. But it's really about people understanding the facts, not just arguing and saying, I don't believe any of that. The overwhelming nature of the facts should lead us to the idea that all of us should stop and think with regards to our relationships, not just for what suits us, but what may end up having to suit our children. And that's the point, really. And if people make their free choices in that environment, then I will be pleased. And I'm pleased that I think the direction of travel now with everybody is to start asking those questions about, is it all about me as an adult, or is there something else I should be taking into consideration? Am I building the next generation here? And are we giving them the right sort of stability and enough nurture to be able to go on and achieve the best? One of the interesting features about most of our work has been to look at some of the early years intervention work, and staggeringly, the literally physical nature of the fact that a child, before it's 3 years old, can almost predict its destiny by the time it's 18. If it doesn't get that right nurture, care, and support before it reaches three, that stability and commitment, then its chances of achievement later on in school and then in adult life are massively reduced, and that now is evidence from the United States, from here, from around the world, and the programs that are necessary to put that right. But at the end of the day, family stability is at the heart of this.
So does it behoove government to encourage those sorts of stable relationships and thereby those types of families?
I think governments are no good at running families. I've never felt that, and I never will feel that. What I do feel they have a role in is, first of all, establishing the evidence, establishing the facts, allowing the debate and discussion to go down a few notches and to cool the temperature in terms of the finger wagging, but to say to people, these are some immutable facts, and these are the important features of what it takes to produce the next generation. And our commitment actually needs to be a little less selfish and a little more altruistic. We need to think, when we have families, a little bit more about what's going to happen to them. And there's been a tendency to talk about everything in terms of lifestyle choices and the satisfaction of your own interest, which is, you know, fair. That's what people ultimately, to a degree, live for. But I think when children come, I think there is a whole different model on offer, which is necessary, which may not always absolutely please the individual, but certainly may well better the child. And that's really what this is all about. It's about saying to people, you know, the high levels of drug and alcohol abuse have got to be dealt with. The astonishing levels of personal debt that we've all engaged in have got to be reduced. People have got to think more carefully in more considered terms. The levels of educational failure amongst many groups has got to be dealt with. And frankly, the entrapment of failure and dependency, all of these center around each other, lead to each other, but at the same time as well lead to family breakdown. So that's the key, to deal with all of these things at the heart of which lies family breakdown.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.